I suppose this 23rd Psalm is probably the most well-known of any portion of the Bible by people that go to church and don't even go to church. I mean, it's used in weddings, christenings, funerals, celebrations, ceremonial events, coronations, all sorts of things. This particular psalm, which we're going to look at a little bit later, is pictured and used together. And it's a very interesting psalm. It's a psalm which, as we unpack it, we will see how much it relates to our lives as we seek to follow the shepherd. And we'll think about that in a moment. Could I ask you to play our next hymn, Andrew? Is that all right? I know you've just got up and gone to your seat. But 315, 315, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left the realms of glory for the cross on Calvary. Yes, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. 315. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross on Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints. Glory gathered by the crystal sea. Was lost, that found me, found the sheep that's gone astray, raised me up and gently led me back into his narrow way. Days of darkness still may meet me, sorrow's path I often tread, but his presence still is with me. By his guiding hand I'm fed. Will keep me till the river rose its waters at my feet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. Thank you. I don't know what your aspirations were when you were a young person, what you wanted to do when you got a bit older, what you were going to do. But I can remember somebody sent me a card for my birthday many, many years ago, and it said, I don't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, but I'm sure it wasn't this. I don't know, but you know what it's like, don't you? But when I was growing up with my sister and my brother, who is a retired church pastor now in Bristol, We lived in St. Michael's Avenue. And if anyone asked me before the age of 10 what I wanted to be, I would say, I want to be a road sweeper. I used to love sweeping the road. And I used to go outside of our house in St. Michael's. This is obviously less than 10 years of age, so we left it when I was 10. And I would brush all down the road, go left into Glenville Road, go right round the block into St. Michael's Road and back down to our house. Obviously, the traffic was less. I mean, you wouldn't want to do it today with all the cars parked one side of the road. You'd be probably mown over anyway. But that was my ambition. And my sister went to pick up one of her ladies for the women's meeting in Sunningdale Gospel Church that we were involved in one day in that road. And she said, I can remember your brother coming round here brushing the road. Well, it never turned out quite like that for me, thank goodness. I never went down that road, but perhaps then I would have had a franchise today of 100 franchises throughout the country for road sweeping or something, but it never worked out quite like that. One of the things my dad used to say to me, and Jan knows I'm going to say is true, he used to say, you stick with me, my boy, and you'll be all right. And that turned out to be true. It was good words. It was wise words, which I had. Now, David, which is the writer of this psalm, was the youngest of six brothers. And I don't know what his dad had intended for him to do, what sort of job he wanted him to do. But he ended up looking after his father's sheep. The shepherd was a lowly job, although a very important job. Because as we look at our land today and throughout the world, we see shepherds, we think of the story of Christmas even, don't we? Where the shepherds were watching over their sheep at night, guarding them, guiding them. And throughout Scripture, the shepherd plays a very important part of Bible teaching. And David is this shepherd boy. And we read in that first verse, or Roland read to us, that he was looking after his sheep. Now, I've got a selection of peas that I want to bring to you tonight. I'm going to call them sweet peas. I like sweet peas. They're a very old-fashioned flower. I like sweet peas anyway. And I'm going to bring to you six. I think it's six. Yes, it is. Yes, it is six peas for us to think about in this story. You see, we read, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say the Lord is my neighbor's shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. And my first thought to you this evening is, it's a personal relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. Two clergymen were walking around the hills around a Welsh town. And as they walked, they came across a shepherd boy looking after his sheep. It soon became evident as they tried to talk with him that he was deaf, he was dumb, and he was illiterate. But they wanted to convey to him this particular first verse of this psalm. So they got the boy to take his hand and put up his fingers together with his thumb. And they demonstrated to him, the Lord is my shepherd. And after they'd gone through that a few times, he grasped what they were trying to tell him. And in his own way, he understood what it meant. They emphasized to him that this third finger was the important one because that's the my. The Lord is my shepherd. And they told him to hang on to that finger because that was the important part of that particular story or that verse. The Lord is my shepherd. How do we get to know the shepherd? You know, people say to me sometime, and they probably say to you, I can't sleep very well. I don't sleep very well anyway, but I don't sleep very well. But people say, I count sheep. I don't count sheep. I talk to the shepherd. It's far better. have a conversation with the shepherd and see what the shepherd is telling you and asking you and reminding you of. See, how do we get to know the shepherd? Well, we get to know the shepherd by meeting him, talking with him, spending time with him, and then he becomes a personal friend. Some of you would have heard me tell this story before, but for those that weren't here, I'm going to repeat it anyway. I was always a big follower, and still am, of Prince Charles. I always appreciated what he did with the Prince's Trust. The fact that he set up that trust and funded that trust to help young people establish themselves in a business that they could then live on and possibly grow that business. I used to read up all sorts of things about the Prince's Trust and about Charles, and I really, really did become part of, he almost became part of my thinking. And every time I saw him on TV, I thought, this is the man that I really support. But I'd never met him. I'd heard a lot about him, I read a lot about him, seen him a few times, but I'd never met him. But one day, he came to Yeovil. He came to open the Macmillan unit at the Yeovil Hospital. And I was asked if I would like to come along and meet Prince Charles in a welcoming committee, because I'd become a fundraiser in the fact of my late wife, who obviously died as a result of illness and cancer. And I was involved with fundraising for Macmillan. And I was asked, would I like to come and meet him? And I did. I went down to the hospital at the appointed time, met up with the mayor and everybody else, and we stood in a row. And he came along this row, and he was talking to some people, then he would miss a couple of people. Then he came along, then he came to me. And he put out his hand and shook hands with me and asked me what my involvement with the Macmillan unit was. I was able to tell him. I joke and said I never washed my hands for 6 weeks after that. But that's only a joke. But you see, the fact I'm making is this. I knew all about him, but this time I actually met him. And that's the same thing with the shepherd. It's all right to know all about the shepherd, but do we really know the shepherd? Have we got a personal relationship with Jesus? It's a wonderful relationship. If we look at John 10, it reminds us that he is the good shepherd and he cares for his sheep and he cares for us. He cares for us. He is concerned for us. He wants the best for us. I don't know whether you saw the statistic the other day, but there was a statistic put out in one of the church newsletters, and it wasn't criticizing the organized church, but it said that in the overall church, only 25% of people that go to church actually know Jesus. That's a very low percentage, if that's true. 25% actually know Jesus. The others go along because they've always gone along. They go along because their parents before them went along. But those of us tonight here, I trust we're following Jesus. We know the shepherd. We're the one who has that relationship with the shepherd. So our first thought then is a personal relationship with the shepherd. You see, John 10 tells us, my sheep know my voice. Do you know, if we were to go out into the middle of a field and see sheep and call out to them, well, they'd probably run away. But if the shepherd is there and he calls those sheep, they know his voice and they respond to him. Jan and myself were walking in Melbury Park some years ago. We walk there often, but we were on there a particular time, and we found a sheep that had become caught in a thicket. he'd become entangled in a bramble. And he was bleating and making an awful noise. All the other sheep were looking at him. There was no shepherd anywhere to be seen. So we thought we would go and try and release this sheep from this vegetation, this thorn, this whatever it was catching him up on. And eventually, we were able to break free, and he ran off. And as he ran off, he actually turned around and looked at us, as much as to say, thank you for that. He said, now, we weren't the shepherd, but we were helpers of the shepherd. And we can be helpers of the shepherd. We can spread the good news of the shepherd. We can put it out there. We can tell people the good news of what the shepherd has to say. The Lord is my shepherd, personal relationship. I shall not want. The original of that scripture says, I shall not want anything. I shall not want anything. So my second P is a God of provision. A God of provision. You can alter this psalm somewhat now because we recognized that the Lord is our shepherd. So we now can say, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything. Trusting in Jesus for everything. Now, that's a difficult one, isn't it? How can we trust him for everything when we see in so many places starvation, all sorts of happenings in our world, yet we're saying that our God is a God of provision? Well, he is a God of provision. The problem lies in distribution. It's the big haves have got much, the little haves have got nothing. And it's all to do with distribution. But to those of us tonight who know the shepherd, then all our provision that we need for our spiritual needs are found in Jesus. We needn't look anywhere else. I come across people, I'm sure you did as well, and they're seeking here, there, and everywhere to find what God has for them. The shepherd is looked after. The sheep are looked after by the shepherd. We're the sheep of his pasture. He is the shepherd. He has told us, because we belong to him, we will want for nothing. Does that mean to say then, if I come to Jesus, everything could be all right? No, it's not like that, is it? Not like that at all, is it? What it's like is this. He says, I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. I am the same yesterday as I am today. I am always the same. And our wants, our needs are met in Jesus. On a practical point, of course, many of us are involved with distribution of bits and pieces to those in need. You've got the Lord's larder, which is very strong here in Yeovil now, and in other places. And there are other things which we can do, and we do, which are spreading out to meet the needs of others, so that the needs which God has met in our lives, we are able to give out to others, so that it doesn't become just our needs met, but that we can give it out to others as well. So because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall want for nothing. Because the Lord is my shepherd, he leads me beside still waters. Very interesting, you know, and I'm not a farmer or a shepherd, but sheep will not drink from moving water. They will not drink from moving water. That's why this scripture says he leads me beside quiet waters. We love the rivers around the bottom end of Dorset towards Dorchester, where you've got those very shallow rivers where they've got gravel bottoms on them and they're very shallow. And this time of year, they're ever so shallow. And you see the fish moving in there and there's hardly any movement at all. But the sheep that are in the meadow on a particular place where we stop will never go and drink from that water. But a bit further down, there's an area where the water goes in and it stays. You'll see them drinking there. He leads me beside still waters. So our next P has got to be peace. Peace. Because the Lord is my shepherd, he leads me beside still waters and he gives me peace. I like rushing water. I love to go and see, as we do on occasion, places certainly around the Lake District and wherever where you've got these mountain ravines of water coming down. And it's a rushing water, it's a gushing water. And it's magnificent to watch it. The noise is tremendous and the spray is the same. But there's no peace there. It's very noisy. It's very traumatic in what's happening. But because the Lord is our shepherd, he leads us beside still waters, quiet waters, and we find that place of peace. Jan often says to me, and she could like this, is she, there's never any peace with you around. Yeah, I'm quite a noisy character. No need for you to laugh, Ian. I am quite a noisy character, and a noisy character as well. I like to do things. I like to be doing things all the time. But there comes a time in our lives when we need to recognize that God wants to give us, as his sheep, a time of peace, a time of rest, a time of quiet. And I find that very difficult, obviously, to cope with. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, a God of provision. Because the Lord is my shepherd, he leads me beside still waters and he gives me his peace. Because the Lord is my shepherd, he guides me. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. He guides me. That is, because the Lord is my shepherd, he has a plan for my life. He has a plan for my life. If you were here on the first Sunday of the year, this calendar year, I actually spoke on that verse, Jeremiah 29, and about verse 17. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And he's got a perfect plan of guidance for you and for me. With God, you don't need a sat nav. You don't need to have to follow that lady that keeps telling you to go left and right and straight on. All you've got to do is to listen to the shepherd, and he will guide you in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. And that is his plan for us. You know, we see building plans and people alter them. We have plans for ourselves and we alter them. But God has for us a perfect plan. We need to follow it, to find it, to follow it, and to stick with it, because God's way is perfect. And his will for us, his plan for us, is past finding out. So because the Lord is my shepherd, he is the God that gives me a provision. He is the God that gives me peace. And he is the God that has a plan for my life. As we read further down the psalm, we find these words: because the Lord is my shepherd, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We got another P. It's protection. Protection. Protection is found in Jesus, the shepherd. All right, many things have happened, haven't they, tragically, where people have come to an awful end, and they've even been Christians. And we say, well, where's God's protection now? Well, he's promised he will protect us. He's promised he will look after us. He will care for us. And he will, as we said just now, guide us. Because the Lord is my shepherd, he will protect me in my life. Interesting, isn't it? Protection. We hear a lot about authorities that are seeking to set up protection, boundaries and things, but people break them and people get outside of that protection area, that zone, as it were. And sadly, oftentimes, they come to a bad end. But for those of us that trust Jesus, that follow the shepherd, his protection over us is what he has promised us, his protection toward us. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not fear the valley of the shadow of death. Notice what it says, a shadow of death. Because of the first man, Adam, when Adam sinned, a shadow of death was cast upon all of mankind. And quite often, as we walk through life, we find that it's difficult to find our way. But because the Lord is our shepherd, he's promised us his presence. He is with us, his presence. I don't know whether you've ever been in a dark situation and you just can't wait to find the light. And people say to me sometimes, and I'm sure they say to you, I feel as though I'm in a dark tunnel. Now, Pete over there knows very well that me and his dad were very keen, and I know Pete's very keen on the railway. And one of the things I like to do is to navigate the old railways, where the tracks have been taken up and it's now perhaps a walkway or a cycleway. But in many places, it's a bramble way. You've got to fight your way to try and find your way along a disused railway track. Well, one of the places I go to is up on the Mendips. And it's a very unique place. It's where the old S&D used to run, called the Slow and Dirty, or whatever they used to call them. That's right. There's a tunnel. In fact, there are two tunnels that go under the Mendips. And it's called Two Tunnels. And I've been up there many, many times. I've taken people there. One of the tunnels you can go into, and you can see right through the other end, is half a mile. But the other tunnel you go into, if you haven't got a torch with you, you don't know where you're going, because it's got a bend in it. And the moment you get about halfway through that tunnel, with water dripping on your head, and you're falling over all sorts of debris on the ground, you come to a little bit of a bend and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And you know, my friend, there's light at the end of the tunnel. It might be a shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. A glorious day is coming when there's going to be glorious light and we should be ushered into the presence of our King, our Shepherd. And we shall spend an eternal day in his presence. The tunnel might be dark. There might be obstacles in the way. But let's be assured, the presence of the Lord is with us. Though it might seem dark at the moment, when you get round the bend, you'll see the light at the end of the tunnel. And in the final verse we read these words, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, that P's got to be a promise, hasn't it? Because that's a promise which the Lord has given us that trust him, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I was having a conversation with a good Christian lady, well in her 90s, by phone yesterday, and we were talking about these verses, and she was saying, well, however are we going to recognize each other when we get into heaven with all the trillions of people that have gone on before us? But the scripture tells us we should be known as we are known. Well, I don't know. But what I do know is this. It's a promise which God has given us through David the shepherd boy, that he has a house prepared for us in heaven. In my Father's house, we often read at funerals, don't we? In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. But it's only for those that know the shepherd. It won't be for everyone. It's for those that have trusted in Jesus that know the shepherd. So that's just a few little thoughts along the way of this psalm. But let me conclude with the story we started with the shepherd boy. One of the clergymen went back some years later to see if he could find the shepherd boy and see how he got on with the counting on his fingers of "the Lord is my shepherd." He couldn't find him. The place where he went, there were sheep, but there was no shepherd boy. So he went down into the town and made a few inquiries. Do you remember back X number of years ago, a shepherd boy up on the hills that was deaf, that was dumb, that was illiterate? Oh yes, we remember him well. In fact, it's recorded on a stone over here. A winter of tremendous snow came, and he was missing for days, and eventually he was dug out of a snowdrift with many of his sheep that he was guiding and guarding. And they said for some reason he was holding on to his third finger. "The Lord is my shepherd." And he obviously went into that snowdrift knowing there was possibly no way out. But he was clutching his third finger. "The Lord is my shepherd." Is he your shepherd? If he isn't, then you need to get to know him well. Right, so we've had it. A personal relationship. Because we belong to Jesus, because he's our shepherd, he's a God of provision. He's a God who gives us peace. He's a God who's got a plan for us. He's a God whose presence is promised always to be with us. And he's a God who promises us a home in heaven when one day we go to be with him. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord encourage you along life's pathway. If you're in a dark place, remember there's light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus is coming, and he's coming for me, and he'll come for you if you trust and believe in him. May God bless you. For his name's sake, amen. Amen.